Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yurali Wickham Ashby. And today, as usual, we have another informative and educational topic to discuss with you. I have the pleasure of sharing with you an interview my good friend and advocate, Pero Holloway, did with the Barbados Fire Service Charity. And I want you to pay special attention to the information shared as we talk about fire safety during this critical time of the year. It's a season when we get all excited, enthusiastic about celebrating Christmas and having lots of fun and merriment with our family and friends. And sometimes accidents do happen and we may forget, neglect, or overplug our sockets. So pay special attention and be safe.
Welcome. My name is Pero Holloway, your presenter for today. And today we are talking fire safety, an extremely important topic because it is to do with keeping yourself safe. And who better to help us with that is Fire Officer Glenn Allen. Mr. Allen, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
Good morning, and thank you as well. It's my pleasure to be here.
And Mr. Allen, let's jump into it. Or some would say, let's jump into the fire. That's not a very good joke. Fire safety. We would have had fires recently, and unfortunately, we would have had some injuries. Is this something that is on the up, or is it something that you would say is trending downward?
No, unfortunately, the fires, we go through these phases, and right now we're seeing a slight uptick in the number of house fires. And as you may be aware, the house fires are of grave concern to the Barbados Fire Service, and also our firefighters charity. We are concerned especially because not only the destruction of property, but the potential for loss of life.
What, in your experience as a firefighter, what is some of the common reasons that we're having so many fires?
Okay, over the 27 or more years that I've been a fire officer, the general causes, sometimes we have what we call defects.
Defects.
Whether they're equipment or just faulty wiring, you can have that. Sometimes we have what we call negligence, where people do not do what they are required to do, and general carelessness as well.
Okay.
We have had one or two cases too where children have been the cause of fires because they were playing with matches or lighters and they accidentally start fires.
Now, let's break down those areas specifically, and let's talk first about faults. Explain exactly what faults would cause a fire.
Okay. Sometimes we have equipment in our homes, whether it's your blender, your microwave, your large screen TV, your fan, your air conditioning. Sometimes these appliances and gadgets may have a defect or fault. You may not be aware, and as a result, you may plug that item in, turn it on, you may leave the room or even leave the house, and while you are away, a fire can start.
Wow.
Quite often, people have appliances in their kitchen, and these appliances need to be repaired, and they don't get that intervention, and we can have a fire starting as a result of faulty equipment.
Now, you mentioned TVs and gadgets, and to tell the truth, Mr. Allen, I am reflecting on my own home, and I can tell you we have about 3 TVs in the house right now, and a couple of laptops, a microwave, an air fryer, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm now going through my mind, any of these have defects, I have to go now and check.
Yes. And let me say this. It is quite common that here in Barbados, and probably elsewhere as well, homeowners will leave appliances plugged in. Even though it's turned off, there is still power going to that device. We call ghost power.
Ghost power.
Yes. It's still consuming some measure of power, even though it's turned off. And once you have that flow going from the outlet to the device, even though the device is turned off, there's still that potential risk that a fire can start. And let me explain. Because in some instances, that device may still become warm or even hot to the touch.
That's true.
And that's a clear indicator that the power is still going to the device and the device is still somehow consuming that power, even though turned off.
Many listeners will say, but Mr. Allen, he want me to turn off, to plug out my microwave.
But you should.
Plug out my stove. But then the time will go out. Because if you look at some of these gadgets, they are designed to be plugged in because they keep information when they're plugged in. So the question is, are manufacturers of these devices encouraging us to do the wrong thing?
I wouldn't say that. I think that there are good intentions when these devices are in new stage. But keep in mind, your microwave may be 10 years old. You understand? So when it was first purchased, it may perform optimally based on the manufacturer's specs. But after 10 years or 15 years, there's no guarantee that your microwave will perform at the same optimum level as it did when you first bought it. And that's why it's so important to have these routine inspections of these appliances.
So when I buy an appliance like a microwave, it usually says 3-year warranty or 2-year warranty. Is that time an indication of when I should start looking at it to see when trouble should start? Let's say after 2 years, I should start plugging it out instead of leaving it plugged in because it's not so new anymore?
Absolutely. If the manufacturer says your appliance has a 3-year period on it, yes. From the time you hit that 2-year stage, there's nothing wrong with having it inspected by a qualified, certified technician. I know quite often that sometimes in some households, you may find that the individuals might attempt to do it themselves because they may have some general idea about electronics and they might unscrew it and go inside and tinker with the internal components. Let me say this now. General repairs or servicing of electronic appliances should only be done by a certified technician and not the homeowner.
Does the fire service have a list of technicians that they recommend for such things?
Or? We do not, but we are aware that many of the stores that sell these appliances, they have either on contract individuals who do that, or even in-house in the store, they have a technician on hand who can conduct these repairs.
Now, you would have mentioned a list of things in my home that is a potential danger for fire. And a lot of these things, when you list them, one of the first things that came to my mind is most of them are made of plastic.
Okay.
Or some sort of material that I am thinking, well, I never smell a TV burning, but I don't imagine that it smells very nice.
No.
Now, if we go back to, say, 15, 20 years ago, when there's a house fire, you wouldn't have any or very few of these things that would be burning. How dangerous are these things in a home now as it relates to an actual fire going on or an actual fire in the house?
Times have changed. And as rightfully said, back in the day, the fire load was not as significant as we have today.
Okay, explain what fire load is.
In your home today, You're going to have drapery, carpeting,
yes,
upholstered furniture.
That's true.
Probably a lovely bookshelf with plenty of books on it.
And a big sofa.
Yeah. Your personal collection of videotapes. All of these things add to the fire load in your home. And you will find that a timber house, what we call a wooden house, will go up in flames rapidly because of the increased fire load in your home.
Okay.
We generally estimate that a timber house can go up in as quickly as 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
7 minutes.
Well, that's pretty shocking.
It is. And like I said, it has to do with the volume of materials contained within the structure.
7 minutes. I'm still processing 7 minutes because 7 minutes is not a very long time.
It isn't.
And which brings me to the whole issue of persons with disabilities. And I am visually impaired, Mr. Ali. I am not 100% sure if I can reach my door in a fire in 7 minutes. I am very sure, I'm not going to swear, I'm very sure some person who has a mobility challenge that is in a wheelchair will not make it out of a house in 7 minutes. What do we do?
Okay, let me explain. You can have some fires that are slow burning.
Slow burning.
We call smoldering fires. And with a slow burning fire, you will have, or you should have, adequate time to vacate your home.
How do I know a slow burning fire from, well, I'm thinking that the name suggests what it is.
Yes, the slow burning, smoldering fire, you generally get an odor, but you don't see a flame.
Similar to a barbecue grill?
Possibly, yes.
Right.
But then there are some fires where there's that rapid expansion of flames and smoke right away. Mm-hmm. So this is a quick burning fire. These can also occur with explosions.
Explosions.
And you know we have now in our homes LPG cylinders, and you can have an explosion and get that combustion taking place. So there's not always the case where the fire is rapidly taking place. You can have slow burning fires in the home. It all depends on what it is that is burning. And I find that with electronic components, most of the time, it is a slow burning fire.
And that was my next question. Give me a practical example of a slow burning fire, or what would cause a slow burning fire.
Okay.
As opposed to what would cause a rapid burning fire in case I'm caught in a house and I'm thinking, well, this will burn slowly or this will burn rapidly.
Okay. One classic example is your household fan.
Your household fan.
Yes. Most homes would have a fan, and what will likely happen first is that the windings, there's a coil inside the fan, and that tends to become hot.
Yes, it does.
Exactly. And that will, over a period of time, become hotter and hotter until you get a small ignition.
Inside the fan.
Inside the fan. So with the fan, there's this rapid explosion of fire right away.
Okay.
The fan is one of those devices that will be smoldering for a time before the actual fire occurs.
Many times I see on social media people comment very jokingly about everybody have on their fan tonight. And you cannot keep fans in the stores. Something you go from fan. So it is easy to suggest that many houses in Barbados now have fans going all night and all day, including myself.
My
fan is always on when I'm home. It doesn't turn. I plug it out before I left home, but when I go back home, it will be on for the duration for the time that I'm home. Should I now be cautious in the amount of time I run my fan?
Let me say this. When you are present and you need to run the fan, by all means.
Yes.
But like I said, once you're going to be leaving the house, I would strongly suggest that you plug that device out.
We you hear a lot when the fire service comes on in the media, television and radio, and they talk about having a fire prevention plan. What is it?
Yes, and we just a few months ago during Fire Prevention Week, we were very vocal about that and trying to raise the level of awareness as it relates to having that plan in all of our homes in Barbados. And I mean, let me explain why. Every member of your household needs to know what to do in the event that a fire should occur in your home. It should not be left up to the whims and fancies of the individuals. And that's why, one, you should have a written, documented plan. Two, every member of the household needs to be aware of the plan. And three, practice the plan.
Now, for us that live in small two-bedroom, three-bedroom houses that has literally three doors, the front door, the side door, and the back door.
Okay.
What practical use would I need of a fire prevention plan? You run through the nearest door, you jump to the nearest window.
Very good question. Even though you have, as you rightfully said, a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom home, you still need to know in the event what you are going to do. And yes, we recommend that you have two ways out of your home. So let's say that you are accustomed to going through your front door. Mm-hmm. If a fire occurs and your path to the front door is obstructed, you must have an alternate route to get out of that house. Either the back door or the nearest window, but you must have an alternate way to escape your home. If the fire is occurring and your back door is obstructed, mm-hmm. then, like I said, you must have an alternate way to escape out of that house.
For persons, our listeners who have disabilities, you can obviously see a fire prevention plan for a person who is disabled cannot be the same as a fire prevention plan for an able-bodied person.
No, and we generally suggest that the fire escape plan for persons with disabilities take into consideration that person's specific disabilities. So whether it's a wheelchair person or a person that is visually impaired, the plan must cater exclusively
for them,
to that individual's disability.
Now, I'm going to give you a practical scenario. And I lived in a one-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. It had one door. As for the one bedroom, one door, and one window. The stove was close to the window. In a scenario like that, now I only have one, and I lived alone. I only have one means of escape, the door, and the stove is by the door. What kind of plan would you recommend for a person who lives in a one-bedroom apartment? Disabled or otherwise, what kind of plan would they be looking to have?
Well, first of all, I would not recommend that the stove be placed close to the window, because you run the risk that when there's a breeze or high wind, any drapery or blinds could become entangled in the flames on the stove top.
But you know that almost every kitchen in Barbados has a window by the stove and
a when we find that, we always recommend that you do not hang any curtains over that stove, because it's a potential risk that flames could ignite the curtain. And you know that, like, there are times when you're cooking and you may have some water go into that hot oil and it flares up.
Yes.
And you get flames shoot very high up from the stove.
Yes.
And you run the risk of those same curtains being ignited by those flames. We never recommend that people hang curtains near to the stove or over the stove.
One of the things that I myself, as a person with low vision, have difficulties with is lighting a stove. And all stoves don't have the click-click igniter mm-hmm. Thing. And some people still use matches. I prefer a stove lighter because it has a distance between the flame, my hand, and the stove. What do you recommend would be the preferred way for stoves to be lit?
Like you, I prefer the igniter as well.
The igniter.
Because like you said, rightfully so, that it gives you some distance between your fingers and the actual burner. So I personally also prefer to have the igniter rather than matches. But you will find that there are some households that still use matches.
Yeah.
But I personally, my preference is to have that igniter.
Now, Mr. Ali, in the beginning, you talked about the charity, Belgium Firefighters. And I can tell you that I used to follow Belgium Firefighters on Facebook, and I never knew it was a charity. I thought it was some person who was a fire enthusiast, like to follow fires and would report things that happened. Tell us about the charity.
Okay. Initially, the Belgian Firefighters Network was not a charity. It was just an online gathering for members of the Barbados Fire Service to network with our international counterparts. Mm-hmm. In 2015, we were encouraged by Roosevelt King, now deceased, and he was the actual head of Bango.
Yes.
And he said to me one day, "But Mr. Aileen, Bajan Firefighters Network is already involved in humanitarian endeavors. Why not become a full-fledged charity?" And at his urging, we capitulated. And I'm happy to report today, it was a wise and sound decision because, one, it brought better organization to the group, more transparency, and of course, it brought standards that we did not have before.
So, what does Belgian Firefighters Charity do?
Good question. Belgian Firefighters Charity, primarily, our mandate is public safety. But we do have, as part of our mandate, where we cater to the youth. So we are working with the St. Ambrose Primary School. We adopted that school and we intend to continue our relationship with them. And we are very much looking forward to starting our Youth Explore program mm-hmm. and having St. Ambrose as our pilot, more or less, very soon. Awesome. Outside of that, we have taken on a very ambitious initiative where we are working in collaboration with the Barbados Council for the Disabled, and we have pledged to put at least one smoke detector in every disabled person's home. Because in Barbados, the three categories of persons who are most likely to die in a house fire are children, the elderly, and persons with disabilities. So for us, this is a very important project. And we intend to continue until we can see that at least one of these devices is in every disabled person's homes.
Do you find that having the charity really puts a link between the public and the fire service and what it does?
It does. A very important link because initially, like I said, the charity was primarily fire officers. Mm-hmm. Now we are comprised of fire officers and also the public as well. And I want to use this forum to invite any person out there who is sincere about volunteerism that they can join the charity. Our youngest member is 6 years old.
Wow.
6 years old. So we don't turn away anybody. As long as you're sincere about giving back to the community and volunteering, we will accept you.
So what are some of the other activities? I know you mentioned working with the Council for Disabled with the smoke detectors, but what are some of the other things that you do?
Okay, we also provide training for community-based groups. So we've worked with the DEOs, mm-hmm. 4-H movement, PTAs. So we do provide fire safety discussions, lectures to PTAs, and training for other organizations at the community level. So we've been very active conducting training with the DEOs. Mm-hmm. And that is preparedness for disasters.
Now, you mentioned the smoke detector program. How important is a smoke detector?
A smoke detector is a very important device because it provides early warning in the event of an emergency fire in your home. And some people sleep very lightly. You have some heavy, strong sleepers, but that device, once it detects that a fire is occurring, will give you a very prominent alert, loud beeping. And we see them as being essential. Every single home in Barbados should have at least one or more of these devices.
Oh, you recommend more than one?
Yes. More than one is better. But like I said, right now we're going to try and put at least one in every disabled person's home. But yes, on every floor of your home should have one of these devices.
Because people think, well, smoke detectors are only for the kitchen.
No. Never put the smoke detector in the kitchen. It will always go off.
Well, yeah,
and sooner than later, it will become a nuisance to you. So we do not recommend you put it in the kitchen. You can put it outside in the corridor by the kitchen, but never in the kitchen, because whenever your stove is in use, mm-hmm. you're going to have problems with that device going off all the time. And I know the average person will eventually remove the battery, and it's of no use to them then.
It's
so we do not recommend you put it in the kitchen itself.
For persons who may want to join the charity Bajan Firefighters, how do they do that? What do they need to bring? Do we need a police certificate of character? What documents?
No, we don't ask for that type of background information. Like I said, once you go to the website, our website, bajanfirefighters.org, you can fill out the request for membership. And then from there, we will contact you and actually email you the application form. We will then try to ascertain from the individual why they want to join. Because like I said, it's very important that persons who are seeking to become volunteers be sincere about doing so.
Understand.
But you know, there are times when persons go out and they do these things because it looks very good on the resume. But what we actually want are persons who have that desire to go out there and to give back to their communities. If you are not sincere about giving up your time, then this is not the charity for you.
Understand. Give us some telephone numbers.
The charity can be reached at 833-8184, or they can email info@bajanfirefighters.org.
And you have a Facebook page.
That is correct. We're very active on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and of course, the professional network, LinkedIn. Wow. We're there as well.
Well, Mr. Ali, we have run out of time.
Unfortunately.
And I think that you can never talk too much about fire safety, because it is just saving people's lives when we talk about this.
And we're going into that period now, the festive period, where there's a lot of celebrating and merrymaking. And just like last year, we are going to be having Operation Pathways. That was launched last year and will run from November the 15th until January 5th. During that time period, our charity will be aggressively mm-hmm. and vigorously promoting fire safety awareness, because that is the time of year we tend to see a lot of troubling things happening. For instance, people putting up lights outside that are not designed for external use, overloading of circuits, baking and you go to bed, the stove is left unattended. So this is a time of grave concern for us, and we want to have a safe holiday season.
I am sure that I will be having you back, Mr. Aline, so that we can have an update on Operation Pathway as the season progresses, so that we can keep reminding the disabled community and the able-bodied community what to do and what not to do this festive season. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you, sir.
And be safe out there, sir.
You too as well.
Thank you very much for listening to Visions with me today. And You heard a very special program focusing on fire safety in our homes and our environment. Compliments of my good friend and advocate, Pero Holloway. Remember, until next week, Christmas Day, be safe, have lots of fun, enjoy your shopping, just catching up with old friends and families, but always be safe and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So until next week, Christmas Day, be careful. Remember, you can reach me on 1246-269-9660 or 1246-430-7300. You can email me on visionsbarbados@gmail.com, and you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website, and voila. So, until next week, ciao.